Adolf, you've been in motion pictures for a great many years and lived in Hollywood for a long time.
Oh, yes, dear.
Did anyone in the picture industry ever win one of those fabulous liars contests?
Well, I'm not sure that we ever produced any winners, but we had some runners-up.
Press agents, I suppose.
Oh, no. Actors. One of my friends sent in the story of the man he knew who swam across the Atlantic Ocean. But I think I topped him with my story.
You told a bigger lie than knowing a man who swam the Atlantic Ocean? How?
Very simple, dear. I merely submitted that I was the man who swam it.
I suppose, Adolf, that these liars' clubs have come into existence in America because some people in our country have always had a knack for telling tall tales.
Well, dear, I think the first man to tell these tall tales was our own Benjamin Franklin, who, becoming incensed at the ridiculous reports of British visitors here in his day, who had only spent 3 or 4 or 5 days here, went back to England and published ridiculous accounts of America. And he, in defense of America, wrote to one of the English papers and really told them some tall tales. The one about the sheep whose tails were so heavy that they had to be carried around in carts. And also of the saltwater fish being chased up the rivers by giant whales, chased them up the Niagara River and jumped up Niagara Falls. I mean, that is some tale. And it delighted the British people. And I don't know, he may have been the first, I don't know, but there seems to be an inherent something in human nature, not only in Americans, that likes tall tales, that likes exaggeration.
Yes, I think it's the obvious thing. I mean, it isn't a question of telling an untruth and trying to get away with it. It's just a question of really going to extremes and telling the most exaggerated story you can imagine, and then just for the humor that's in it. You know, they have clubs all over this country called Liars Clubs, in which people join every year, and in order to join, you have to pass the test of telling a real whopper, you see, in contest.
Well, now, what is the characteristic of a real whopper? You can tell some stories that are stupid, but, I mean, what makes it so very interesting, the real whoppers?
Well, I suppose because it's quite impossible. I think that's one of the main reasons. It's like your story of Benjamin Franklin. We know perfectly well that a whale could never jump up Niagara Falls. We know that it's ridiculous, but it rather presents an amusing story, and for that reason, people are amused by it. You know, in, I think it was about 1929, the Burlington Liars Club was formed in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, and it was all started on the basis of a lie. A local reporter who was short of news to send to his paper on New Year's Eve of that year, in desperation, sat down and concocted a fantastic story, which was a meeting of a liar's club, and he awarded a medal. Now, to back up the story, he told the sea captain for the story that he had told of the whale he once passed that was 3 miles long. Now, when this appeared in the paper, of course, no one believed it, but the people were so delighted that they wanted to know more about this, so they sent a cameraman down to take pictures of the formal award of the medal. Now, of course, the reporter, realizing that the whole thing had been done up in his imagination, thought up that way, he was very quick, and he got together with the local characters, and he staged the giving of this phony medal. And that was more or less the beginning of the entire thing. Now, after that happened, people started joining every year, and they have to go in contests, as I say, and here are some of the samples of the winners for that particular place. There was one that was given of a grandfather, how his clock, an old grandfather's clock, which was so old, no one knew just how long it had been in service, but there was a hole through the back of the case where the shadow of the swinging pendulum had worn through.
Well,
now, you know, that's a wonderful story.
Even the one about the whale is so unbelievable, you see. But, of course, we've made heroes was it Paul Bunyan in Minnesota?
Oh,
from Bemidji, where they have the huge statue of this exaggerated man.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What is the other famous one? Pecos Bill was a product of Texas. And I think the story of Davy Crockett, the hero of the Alamo, the famed bear hunter who ordinarily caught 2 bears at a time so he could tie their tails together and let them skin each other.
It's wonderful.
But,
I like that.
All nations have it. Baron Munchausen was one of the world's famous liars.
Oh, then, yes. Who did that on radio years ago?
Well, I don't know.
Jack Pearl.
Oh, yes. But did he do Baron Munchausen?
Yes. That was the character that he did.
Oh.
Don't you remember that? And, of course, the late Frank Morgan always had that wonderful character that he created in these fabulous things that he did and extraordinary things he was able to achieve, and everyone knew that it was done in good fun, but it was very amusing.
When Jack Pearl was challenged, he always said, "Was you dare, shall we?"
Yes.
So that he could alibi his own enormous lies. Well, I know of a wonderful lie that was told out here during a a golf match, you see, and it was played very, very late, and one man dropped out. It was so dark. But the man that continued the match came in at 9 o'clock at night and said, well, he said, I shot 2 under par. And they said, well, 2 under par? How could you have done it? Well, he said, it got a little dark, so I sent to the caddy house for some caddies, and I lined them along the fairway, and each had a newspaper wrapped around and burned it, and he said, I was able to come in 2 under par. Well, you know, that's the truth, you know. The fact that he told it was the truth.
But did anyone believe him?
Well, at first, and then they began to get together and say, how is it possible? Well, somehow, dear, I believe that people who can tell amusing, tall stories always have a host of friends.
Yes, I suppose that perhaps is one of the traits that makes them liked.
I wonder how many people ever sit down and analyze themselves for the qualities that really win friends.
Well, I don't know, but I'm sure to be profitable. I think it's very important to develop the traits that make people like you.
Well, I think we might discuss these qualities. But first, suppose we listen for a moment to someone else. I'm sure, Marie, that everyone wants to have friends and be liked by people. And I think that by developing certain traits of character, almost everyone can become more popular.
Well, I think you're right here. It must be almost a universal desire. As a matter of fact, you know, you have some wonderful experiments that have been made throughout the country. And one in particular has been put by the psychological laboratory at the Colgate University, who has gone out of its way to find out some of these traits and habits. And I think they've been extremely fair, inasmuch as they have picked out those things that we can all do, that we can develop within ourselves. Some of them, of course, you probably couldn't. But let's take, for example, a few of the things that they suggest, and I'm sure that we will probably all agree. One of the first things that we know that makes a person, shall we say, liked by others, is never to appear superior to other people. You know, it's not very flattering if you meet in a group someone who instantly tries to impress you with their knowledge, which may have nothing to do with anything that you're interested in, and more or less monopolize the conversation.
That's very true. How many traits are there? I couldn't offhand think of 5, 6, or 7 traits.
You'd be amazed how many you could think of if you tried to number them. Well, I don't know, but according to this report, there are some, 46 or more good and bad traits. But let's just take those traits that are desirable in people. Others we probably all know about, you know? The things that we don't like in ourselves.
Isn't a pleasant personality, is that a trait? Would you call that a trait?
Well, I think you have to break it down a little bit. I mean, what makes a pleasant personality?
Well, now, the whole basis of this argument was that it would, if you developed traits that made you more popular. Well, I suppose a pleasant, smiling face would do it. Now, but that wouldn't mean what was inside of a person's heart.
Well, you have to be sincere, don't you? You're going to have a nice smile on your face.
How are you going to detect insincerity?
Oh, I can. Can't you in people?
If they go on too long, I probably can. One might have to know them for some time to be sure whether it was or not. It's quite a difficult thing. But to make yourself more popular, well, you shake hands more firmly, you look in the eye a little bit longer, you have a hearty voice. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there are certain things. Let's go on a little bit beyond that. A thing that I think is rather unpleasant, and we probably all do it more or less, is finding fault with other people or to laugh at other people's mistakes. You know, for a while, that might be very entertaining for your friends if you are always finding something amusing to say against someone else. But in the long run, those same people might stop and say, well, now, I wonder when I'm not here if they're not saying the same thing about me. Well, that'll make you very unpopular.
I know, dear, but pardon me. That brings up a very, very interesting point, because some of our greatest comedians that have been popular in the United States have gotten all of their humor by making fun of either the Congress or other people or well-known traits of prominent people, and they've gotten huge laughs out of it. And I don't know whether that's...
Would you think that they were liked for themselves? Don't you think that they were just sort of entertaining for the moment? It might be extremely entertaining, but I think that under it all, it'd probably be something that people wouldn't like very much.
Well, the traits that I like in people, of course, I find fault with myself a great deal, and I'm self-criticism, of course, is something that is, I think, very desirable to find out what is wrong with you. But a pleasant personality, a really sincere pleasant personality, which I think everyone can, by struggling and striving for, achieve. A good presence, something that makes people like you instantly.
Well, I think that honesty is important, and I think that sincerity is important. And I think that you have to be careful in life not to... it's very nice to say pleasant things to people, but not to be over-flattering. That also is something that you eventually see through.
But, dear, after this program is over, if everyone tries to do as we say, you'll have nothing but a group of grinning, smiling people all over the world.
That's not bad.
There wouldn't be an unpleasant personality anyway.
No, I think that's rather nice. I don't think I'd mind that. Now we come to some of the other things that we can all try and and overcome a little, and that is one thing in particular, I think, is shyness. And it isn't a question of a trait that we dislike in people, but I think that it'll make people happier if they try to overcome their shyness, because usually with shyness goes a certain awkwardness and uncertainty and so forth. And I think that those things are more or less traits that we can all work on.
But do you know, dear, that lots and lots of very, very shy people put on a blustering front to cover their shyness?
That's very true.
What do they call that, a defense mechanism?
Yes, that's true.
Well, they do, I know. Mm-hmm. They'll put on a very bold, brave front to try to fight their inherent shyness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how or whether that's coming under the head of trying to improve yourself.
I think it is. I think another thing that we should mention also is sarcasm. I think that that is something that is extremely unpleasant in people. And you know my pet one, which we haven't mentioned at all, and that is, I think, one of the traits that make all of us liked by others is the intelligent listener, is to try to show interest in what someone else is saying.
Even though it's boring you to death.
It doesn't make any difference.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, give your all that way.
Yes.
Well, dear, I think one important trait in making a person liked is the ability to say goodbye at the right time. And we might profit by that right here. This is Marie Teasdale Marjou speaking from Beverly Hills.
And this is Adolphe Marjou thanking you for having us as your guests and looking forward to our next visit.